This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very angelic episode of the VCP. Super excited for this one, ladies and gentlemen. Ahead of her match at Funhouse Wrestling, and Titan Kids presents Time to Party against the Funhouse Women's Wrestling Champion, Debbie Kane. Please welcome to the show a multiple-time hashtag wrestling fashion nominee. She is the current reigning and defending Spartan Championship Wrestling Women's World Champion, our good friend, Miss Angel Orsini. Angel, welcome in. How are you? No, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing. I'm always taking care of business. That's the way I do.
Thank you for making the time. She's got the gold around the shoulder. I don't want to bury the lead here. The journalist in me has got to ask this. March 12th, guys, this Saturday, tickets are still available. Bayville Elks Lodge here in New Jersey. Titan Kids presents and Funhouse Wrestling, Time to Party. Angel, you're going up against Debbie Kane, someone you're no stranger to. Your thoughts going into that match and maybe having some gold on the other shoulder there?
Well, first and foremost, to be honest with you, after what happened last time that I wrestled Debbie Kane, it's not even about the gold anymore. It's just really about kicking her ass. Wow. You know, and my strategy is to kick her ass. So I figure if I can achieve that, then I can probably walk away with that belt too. And that would be the bonus plan, because I would love to carry that belt and contribute to that organization and help grow it and get the word out about what they're doing over there. And if I can help, then that's what I'm all about right now. Building women's wrestling, giving more platforms, more opportunities to women, because there are so many amazing, talented women out there and people want to see it. And these girls want to perform in front of those people. So let's do it. Let's grow it. Let's build it. We can do this together.
And maybe another title for good measure. And I did want to ask you this. You know, a lot of you ECW guys and gals like are killing it right now. We just had Danny Morrison, formerly Danny Doring, on the show. He's representing ISPW as their heavyweight champion. You're obviously representing a Spartan Championship Wrestling. Like, what is in the water over there? You are in, every time I see you, you're in fantastic shape. You're kicking butt in the ring, like obviously bodybuilding, martial arts. Like, how do you just like keep with it? I'm 35. My knees hurt when I play basketball. Like, how do you keep this going? How are you carrying the gold everywhere?
Well, it's a lifestyle. It's not something like, oh, I'm going to go on a diet and get ready for a match. I have been living this lifestyle since 1992. I embarked on my journey of health and wellness and nutrition. And I am now currently vegan. I'm gluten-free. Wow. My lifestyle includes yoga always. I mean, you want to go all the way back when I was 5 years old, I started in gymnastics. And so calisthenics and stretching was a part of my everyday life, flipping, rolling. And then I did track and field all throughout my youth, played softball, basketball. And I started lifting weights in high school when I got my varsity letter on the track team. So it's a lifestyle. And I am a health and wellness ambassador because I know so much. I always look for opportunities to share my wisdom, knowledge that I have acquired, and I'm always tweaking it, you know. So I give credit to the lifestyle of making health and fitness my number one focus, my priority, and taking care of myself, always being fit. And when I was going to college, I did have to kind of redirect my focus and I gained a bunch of weight. Oh my God. The freshman 15 is a true story. But as soon as I graduated and I started back to a regular job, I got back into the gym and tweaked my diet and got right back on the horse and been riding it ever since.
Yeah, you look fantastic every time I see you. And I always ask, like the vegan wrestlers, we just had Leo Sparrow on. His whole gimmick is like the vegan thing. I remember Bryan Danielson at one point. I think he still is vegan, but like the way you guys are able to get like protein and put on muscle and do that, like with like you've obviously figured it out. Like, how are you able to balance that? And do you have any good like vegan spots? Like maybe you can get like a vegan pork roll, egg and cheese. I found some places like that. Like any secrets or anything like that?
I honestly don't eat out much. Okay. When I eat out, I will let myself have seafood, but
nice.
You know, occasionally I stick with salad. I make my own food and, I'm big on Beyond Burger and they have a whole bunch of stuff like Beyond crumbled meat. They have the meatballs, they have the different sausage. You do have to watch your sodium intake. But I have super low blood pressure, so it's not a problem for me. I can indulge in some,
it's the yoga. Yeah.
Yes. And, but also, you know, I manage stress effectively by doing meditation and praying. And I think that's a big thing. And I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. You know, I'm very moderate in alcohol. So I think that all contributes to my longevity and, you know, anti-aging effects of it. I am putting together a curriculum for health and wellness coaching. My very best friend, Joy Nash, and I created Elevated Living, and we're going to be launching that business soon, and we're going to be sharing all of our tips. Joy used to be my workout partner. 1998 to 1999, I was like wrestling all the time. I was still actually doing mixed martial arts fighting.
Wow.
And she would be my lifting partner. We'd go to the gym and, you know, we would work out together. And we had a great time. We would yell in each other's face, come on, don't you give up. Yeah. Come on. I'd hit myself. Come on, don't stop now. Get that one more rep.
That's right.
You know, we'd be benching like 200 pounds and the guys would be like, all right, we got it.
Yeah.
It was at Gold's Gym too, down in Pembroke Pines or University, Florida area. And they would just evacuate the area and be like, you know, we think that we're going to start training legs now. These girls are.
that's awesome. And then this is a perfect question. Our buddy, Annie Smart, couldn't be here today, but he did want to ask you this. I'm reading here, bodybuilding, martial arts, pro wrestling, you know, all very male dominated when you were coming up. How were you able to navigate that? And was there anyone that helped you along the way?
Actually, the only coaching I had was in martial arts. Bart Vail trained me shoot fighting and got me ready to go to Japan and fight for through Fujiwara Gumi. And I got to fight in the Queendom Highest Wars in 1996. So that's exactly March 1996. And that was my professional debut in mixed martial arts. And then Liz Chase trained me in pro wrestling. Pro wrestling, I've trained with several people because I still train now. I go every week and I train.
Wow.
And I'm still, I think seeking, when you are a seeker of knowledge and you really want to be the best that you can be, you realize that no matter how much you know, there's so much more that you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I can just keep evolving in pro wrestling and changing and adapting. And, you know, I started off doing one style and I've just kind of adapted. And I think that's why ECW people succeed still in wrestling, because we were innovators. And
yes,
that's Tommy Dreamer's name, right? The innovator of violence. And when you're in that atmosphere and you have those kind of people making an impact on you and watching you train and giving advice and correction and just things to ponder, it's in your DNA at that point. to always be seeking and pushing the envelope and creating the next revolution and evolving yourself. That's why I'm calling myself the Wrestling Revelation, because I feel like I'm always revealing a new part of a new toolbox of skills and things that people didn't realize or recognize before that I was able to do, you know, and I just whoop, do it.
Absolutely, you do. Now, was it martial arts first, then wrestling for you? Is that how it played out? What was that transition like for you?
Oh, it was interesting. So it, like you were saying, it's very male dominated. You know, I've always been the only woman at any dojo, you know, and then go there and then kind of open it up for other women to feel safe and come and train. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I would say in martial arts, men are very respectful and they take it serious because you want your students to learn how to successfully defend themselves. It's a matter of life and death that you're talking about.
Sure.
It's very serious. I took it when I was the sensei very serious. I taught people from 4 years old to 65 years old and even older than 65.
Wow.
But just to show you the wide diversity of, you know, men and women and children and every single person's ability to defend themselves and develop a plan within their strengths of how they can have a way of defense for themselves is vitally important. In wrestling, that's not the goal. The goal is to be entertaining. It's sports entertainment. You want to wow people, but, you know, so, and there's so many styles.
Yes.
For me, I approached pro wrestling as a more fun way to display real hand-to-hand combat, but not in a way to kill my opponent, right? Because in real life, if you attack me, I'm going to defend myself with extreme prejudice.
Yes.
If that means I break your bones and you don't make it out of that encounter, hey, you were the aggressor. You made that decision for yourself. I'm not going to play patty cake with your ass.
Don't mess.
You know, it's, yeah, that's who knows? In this world, people got guns. People got not. I am not playing. I'm not here to be a victim to anybody. But in pro wrestling, you actually want to drag it out. You don't want it to be over in 10 seconds. Yeah. You want to give people a show. So you think of innovative ways to stun your opponent, but not destroy them, you know. And so that transition was a little difficult for me in the beginning. I was like, oh, this is more like the cat playing with the little lizard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bopping its head around a little bit, you know, before ripping its head off and chopping it down.
Yeah, watch out, guys. If you're in the ring with her, she could take you down, but, you know, she knows what she's doing in there. It's an art. Like you say, it's a performance art. You're absolutely killing it. I do want to talk about the performance aspect of it. You've been a multiple time hashtag wrestling fashion nominee, something we love to do here on the show. Tell us about the fashion. I love the glam. I love the crown. I love everything you got going on. The Kill Bill stuff. I pop for big. Like, tell us all about kind of your philosophy when it comes to hashtag wrestling fashion.
Cool. Yes, I would love to. I love fashion. I am a, I didn't start off this way. But over time developed into, I am a glitterati, a glitternista. Like I love the sparkle and the shine. And it comes from my spiritual side to like kind of convey that in my fashion. That, you know, I'm a follower of the light, and I believe that through meditation and energy or spirit, whatever you want to call it, that we can change the atmosphere, we can change frequency. And so I think fashion being a part of art, which is a part of the expression of your personality, I try to transcend or can convey that into it. So I wear a lot of sparkling, a lot of glittery, and that's my deal, man. I want people to look at me and feel like ooh, she's positive. There's vibrance. There's life. There's hope. You know, no matter how dark it is, and we are in some very dark times right now,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
That we can't give up and we can't give in to that fear. And fear is darkness. And so I'm trying to, you know, articulate hope, faith, belief, positivity, love, and hope that that's how people feel when they look at me.
Yeah. I to echo that sentiment, I love that about you. I've only worked with you a few times at Goddesses. And I really got a good vibe from you when I met you. And I'm like, man, she's a good human and like a really nice person. And then off air, I heard you talking to the doggies. I'm like, oh, you have doggies. Like, we love doggies. I've always grown up. I've always had like black labs growing up. I've always had, I wish I had one now. I just, you know, I'm not home enough. I wish I was, but grew up with dogs. I always had to ask you, I was asking you about the doggies, and you said that you have like recently rescued, like, I think you said you went to Texas, like 20 something dogs. You have like a bunch of dogs at home. Like, tell us about that. Cause I'm very pro like doggy.
So accidentally on Twitter, I kind of found through, I'm a huge sports fan. And I follow a lot of ESPN, and I was following Keith Olbermann.
Okay.
And he does a lot of stuff with dog rescues. And I was like, what is it with these dogs? Why are they saying they're going to kill these dogs? I had no idea that they take our tax money and they have animal control and they destroy dogs that are healthy and adoptable just because of space and time. And I thought, oh, no. I can't have that in my world. So
absolutely.
I found out about that and then I started supporting it and then I started getting more and more involved. So just to give everybody a rundown, you may see on my Twitter, I use my Twitter for helping save dogs, where we try to raise pledges, and pledge money is fundraising to spring a rescue dog out of the shelter before the shelter kills it. Because shelters have a limited amount of space. And this kind of policy has been going on in our country since 1920. This is how, and before, they used to just kill all the dogs. But then people started volunteering at shelters and learning about this. And then they became animal advocates and connecting animals to rescues and develop a system. And this is all people, nobody gets paid for doing this. In fact, everybody pays money into out of their own pocket to help these animals get rescued. So the more pledge money we raise up, then the rescues can then pull the animal from the shelter, because it costs a lot of money to get them vaccinated, spayed, neutered, and then to house them until they're able to find a good adoptable family for them, and also get them trained so that they're potty trained and everything.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm involved in. In 2019, over Thanksgiving, I spent my Thanksgiving holiday down in Southern Texas. I flew down there, went to the most high kill rate shelter, and I rented a van and brought back 21 dogs.
Wow.
To New Jersey. And it was supported all through my Twitter account and a GoFundMe. And I dropped off 4 of those dogs to a Maryland rescue. And then I brought the rest 17 dogs into my home and started training them. I was sleeping like 2 hours a day, because it's a lot of work and I had no help. I did it all by myself. And then I started finding fosters and then getting these dogs adopted as I trained them.
Wow.
And I only kept 2 of the dogs for myself. So in total, I have 3 dogs, really 2.5, because one is a little Chihuahua. He's not even 10 pounds.
17 dogs, that can be rough. That's my dog joke right there. But no, really great. But I'm need the drum set, right? Great, really great job out of you, and guys, support, like, obviously the cause that you're a part of. That's amazing. You saved a lot of doggies, and that's really, really amazing. And I love that about you. Gotta, you know, obviously, I always like to ask non-wrestling stuff outside of wrestling. Obviously you talk about like the dogs and all the great causes that you're involved with. Is there anything, cause you seem to me like to, you said a very spiritual person. I feel like, do you do poetry? Do you do art? Do you play music? Like, I'm a musician. Do you play music? I feel like you would be involved in something like that.
So I don't play music. I love music, and I helped co-found the New England Music Hall of Fame because I really believe in the power of music to heal. Part of my life coaching, I talk about mindfulness and self-regulation of your moods, right? A lot of anxiety and rage, resentment, there's certain triggers. And when we can start to draw up our awareness, we can develop a response to our feelings. And I think music is really a great way to help change the atmosphere, change the mood, change the frequency, change our focus, right? And shift. And I don't recommend listening to a sad song or a failed romance song when you're, you know, struggling with your mood, you know, but there is other music. And I subscribe to a lot of that stuff on YouTube that is about frequency and brain waves and helping control, helping do guided meditations and things like that. What I found in my experience with co-founding the New England Music Hall of Fame was that a lot of musicians are like a lot of wrestlers where
yes.
they're keeping the independent scene going, you know, yes, and they needed support. And I thought, you know, having an award, Hall of Fame was a good way to support them and give them the acknowledgement and encouragement they need to keep doing it. Because, you know, when we go out to our local scene, you know, there are musicians playing and helping contribute to our good time and our celebration of our life's moments, which helps us be more presently engaged in those moments. So hearing that music and associating it with good times, those are important aspects of our experience as human beings.
I love that you get that. Because of the work, I came from like the local music scene, and there's so many parallels between that and wrestling. Again, this has probably been my rookie year in wrestling. You know, I did the podcast for a while. Now I'm doing the behind the curtain stuff, backstage interviewer commentary, all that stuff. And it's so similar. I'm so glad that you get that and you're a part of that, that you made that. That's amazing to hear. Little teaser, guys, there might be some music, some live music on Saturday at the Titan Show. We'll find out. Maybe I'm bringing some drums. Maybe I'm not. We'll find out. We'll see what happens. Little teaser there. I can't wait for that. Shameless promo. I do want to talk about, actually, real quick before we transition, we always love to ask this one. Big entrance. If you got any band or artist play you out, who would it be? Legendary, any favorites that you like to listen to? Like, who would you have play you out to the ring?
Five Finger Death Punch.
Really? Whoa. Oh, you're a rocker. Okay.
Yeah, nice. I'm hardcore, man.
that'll get you fired up. You'd win that match. No doubt in my mind.
But I also do love techno music. And okay. I like there was this song and I can't find it anymore. And it was like really dramatic. And it was like sounded angelic. And then it broke out into some hardcore techno. I like that too. I like the upbeat. Anything that gets the fire going, you know. I like it.
Love it. Yeah, that'll get you going for wrestling, especially. That's amazing. And we talk a lot, obviously, about wrestling, more so women's wrestling, because obviously you came up in a time where maybe women's wrestling wasn't as prominent as it is today. We have things like NWA Empower, Goddesses of War, which you're heavily involved in. Mission Pro Wrestling that Thunder Rose is putting on right now. I love seeing so many of my friends getting these opportunities, even through a pandemic, no less, like getting these opportunities. It's amazing for me to see as an outsider looking in. What is that like for you to see this kind of rise? My match of the year was Thunder Rosa Britt on the Pop Break. I picked that match. Like, women's wrestling is stellar at an all-time high right now. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's about time. We could have done this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I've been pushing for this for a very long time. I've always been kind of breaking through the glass ceiling in places. You know, I'm one of the first women to wrestle men and hold a belt in a men's division. And I've done it in America, and I've done it abroad in Europe. So I think it's important to show that, to display that women have that power, that athleticism. And I've always pushed for women to have their own show. I was involved in women's extreme wrestling after ECW, and we did, I was in hardcore matches there. So we had that, we had steel cage matches, we had flaming tables matches even. And, you know, pinfalls count anywhere in the building, you know, no DQ. I've done all that. I've wrestled all over the building and out in the street, out into the snow. That's all Dangerous Women of Wrestling, WEW. And that's on Tubi, and also Pluto TV. People can find women's extreme wrestling and Dangerous Women of Wrestling. So I think it's great. I think it's well overdue. And, you know, I definitely pushed myself to get into ring shape through COVID to try to push for a comeback in 2021, because I think it's important to contribute to this next generation of women to ensure that we have the quality of athletes and pro wrestling styles to keep this going. To me, this is my life work. Love you know, I 25 years I've been pro wrestling, and I want to make sure that women's pro wrestling is going, you know, in 25 years from now and 2,500 years from now, women need to be, have a prominent spot in society where they're valued and admired and respected as equals. And pro wrestling really does help that. It helps women of all ages. It's not just about young girls. Women out there who are trying to hold it down, that are single moms working full time, they need to see strong women on TV in characters, not taking any crap from anybody and being able to go toe to toe and see them have the same skills that men have on display. And I think that that's what pro wrestling does. It, and men need to see it too, because maybe they didn't have a strong female role model in their life. But through wrestling, we can tell stories that can convey these messages. And these are messages and stories that are worth telling.
Wow. Applause over here from me. Very well said. And thank you for all that you have done to get us to this point. And that's amazing to see, you know, just how far everything has evolved over time. Hopefully it keeps evolving. And I love what you said about, you know, a single mom seeing strong women on TV, even for the males to see that. That's amazing. I love that you look at it from all angles. Very, very well said. I did want to talk about this a little bit. Our buddy, the Andy Smark, pointed out that you did train Molly Holly. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. I was her first teacher before she met Lanny Poffo. She had just moved from Minnesota down to Florida. She had been at a wrestling show. I think it was like Florida Championship Wrestling, maybe, that I met her. And she was with some people, and they said they were training her. And, you know, they meant well, but I just immediately saw it in her attitude. And I just said, you know, take this girl under your wing. And I have this like big sister kind of spirit, because I am the firstborn, and I care very much about my younger siblings, and that matters to me. And part of that is understanding that there's bad elements in this world, and including in our business, where people can be taken advantage of. Yes. And I have that very much, you know, big sister, motherly, protect my little hen, protect the little chicks, you know, motherly hen, kind of. And that's how I felt about her. I recognized immediately her athleticism. I saw her wrestle and I was like, wow, she's got so much potential. She also was in gymnastics. So I had her, she actually was my roommate for a while, and I would go train with her and we would work out. And, yeah, I think that was like for several months before she met, Lanny Poffo. And, wow. I've always just thought the world of her, and I'm so glad to see her be so successful. I can't even convey to you how much of an awesome person, what a great human she is. Aww. And so I'm so glad for all of her success. I also had a lot of, to do with mentoring Mercedes Martinez and helping yes. her when she was new and training, and also Amber O'Neill. Amber O'Neill, I was her second match. Leilani Kai was her teacher. And Leilani Kai and my teacher, Liz Chase, were really great friends. And I knew Leilani when I was going through my training and even after then. And so when I found Amber, Leilani had asked me, you know, keep an eye out on Amber. So immediately Amber was little sister, you know, and Mercedes was trained by Jason Knight in the beginning. And so it was the same thing, you know, it was like she was ECW family and, you know, little sister. We were even tag team partners for a while, Mercedes and I. And then we had some really great rivalries. And one of them was in WSU, Women's Superstars Uncensored.
Yep. Sure.
We did it all. We did Texas Bull Rope. We did a steel cage. We did the Iron Woman match. We had a 67-minute match that was main event, pay-per-view. And we did it. We totally did it, man. It was awesome. I'm very proud of that. And we had a really excellent ladder match that was like 42 minutes. I think you can watch these matches on Click Wrestle. And I believe the year that we did the ladder match, that match actually won a lot of acclaims in the sheets. And we even were up against like the WrestleMania main event. And some reporters had us first place for that year. I don't remember the year, you know, 26 years. It's hard to remember like what year did this and this, but I'm really proud of all of that work. You know, it was an honor, really honestly, an honor to get to tell those stories. And I really have so much more I want to do. I never know how much more time I'm going to have left with my career. Every day is like a gift. Yes. And I really want to be able to tell some more good stories and develop some of these other women. Oh, Serena Deeb. Oh, Serena's first match, I think her first match was with me.
Really?
And I helped train her because she was in OVW. And that was when I was there. And so I didn't do TV for OVW, but I was involved in training the women. And I would go and I would work out with the girls. It was great. And so proud of all of those girls. My goodness. What amazing work. I also helped work with AJ Lee.
Oh,
in
really?
The beginning when she made her debut. And let me think. I don't want to forget anybody.
Oh, great people.
Though. Annie Social, Roxy Cotton. That was in WEW. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I would go to a lot of those shows and I would work out with those girls and work out early and help them and agent their matches and help the producers with putting awesome. Those together.
That's really cool. And I even see you helping out now here in the Indies with some of our friends, which I'm very appreciative of. And a lot of those names that you said, you know, you talk about being kind of the big sister. I see a lot of those people. I don't know a lot of them on a personal level. You know, Molly always seemed like just to be one of the very good ones. Mercedes always very nice. Anytime I see her, and just like that Serena Deeb, like I know she gives right back she critiques people's matches. She gives back the indies. And I think they've all learned that from you in a lot of ways. So it's cool to kind of see how the people that give back to the business, my ultimate goal, I'm not trying to like make it or anything. I'm just learning. I love seeing everybody. I love learning production, commentary, whatever it is. And my goal it's just to leave it better than I found it, because it's like you said, it is a circus. You know, there's, you know, sometimes people try to take advantage of you. Someone's not who you thought they were in wrestling. Like, how are you able to still love it after, you know, all this time? I've been in it for a year. There's been a couple times where I'm like, nope, like, this is, you know, this is a circus. This is too much for me. But like, I want to leave a lasting impact and make it better. That seems to be your philosophy as well. Like, how are you able to navigate all that?
It is hard and it's very challenging. And really what pisses me off is when I see people try to make getting good with some of the wrestlers by giving them drugs or being that. And those are the people that I really want to beat the crap out of and choke them out and get them out of my business. And when I say my business, I do take personal responsibility for pro wrestling. I've been in it long enough that I can, and I should, and I see it. You know, I don't know that I necessarily really taught people certain values, but I do hope that I set an example. I always try to do things the right way. I am very old school. I had Luna Vachon break me in and really teach me like locker room etiquette things, and old school is the way that she was. So my approach, and also Dusty taught me a lot.
Really?
Dusty Rhodes, and Luna Vachon, I will always forever be so grateful to them because they really took me under their wing and they protected me. And so the example that they set for me is the example that I hope that I set for the other people in the locker room. And I've made mistakes that I'm not perfect. But I learned from my mistakes, and hopefully even in my mistakes, I set an example maybe of what not to do, you know, for somebody else. Right. But hopefully overall, I hope it's always been a positive experience for everybody that's ever interacted with me, because I've genuinely done it because I care. I care about doing the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing is going to piss other people off.
Yes.
Like, people don't come into wrestling and into a locker room, you know, knowing it all, and they have to be corrected. And people do not appreciate that part of it. But I love you enough as my sister and my brother in this business to risk my friendship with you to tell you what the right thing is for you to do. And if you get pissed off at me about it, that's on you, but I've done it from a position where I just don't want it to hold you back, because if I didn't care, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't risk you being mad at me to tell you this information, but I see it as something down the road that might be a stumbling block from you living out your full potential in this business. And it's my responsibility to do that. As a veteran in a locker room, I have to.
Love it. And you have every right to pull rank and lay down the law. And like, again, when I met you, I just got this very good vibe from you, and I'm so glad to get to talk to you. I'm feeling more inspired. But I am one of those people that I want to be corrected. Like I said, drums are my forte. I feel like I'm very knowledgeable and good at playing the drums. I teach music. So that is my forte when it comes to commentary and backstage interviewing. I am very much learning, and I love to learn. I'll take all the criticism, good, bad. So from you, someone who's been in this business, you know this business so well, you've trained so many people, you're still killing it, you got the gold around the shoulder. What advice would you have for someone like me getting their start from a commentary perspective?
So I would say, you know, watch TV and try to see what they're doing to put things over. That's going on, because even though they convey their personality, they don't let it detract from the match. And that's important, you know, because we're all trying to get this match over, right? And tell the story and help make it clear for people that maybe don't know about this rivalry, or maybe they just turned it on and they're watching in the middle. You know, your job is to help tell that story for that person so they get caught up in where it's at in this particular portion of the program. But don't stop being yourself, you know, still get your personality in and articulate it in your character's way. But just always remember that it's about what's going on in the ring.
I appreciate that. And that's probably the thing I get the most. You know, I always wanted to make an impression without stepping on toes when they brought me, as I did like the whole pun dispute, you know, all the puns and stuff, which is very cute and funny. But at the same time, you don't want to detract from anything in the ring, which I'm learning. And I've been lucky, you know, people like have used me for segments or parts of matches. And I'm just like, I appreciate the shine and all, but I'm just like, no, like, this is like the pinnacle of your guys' thing or rivalry. And again, like I told you off air, like, I'm very grateful. I want to give it all back. And that's why I want the criticism. I want to make everyone look their best in the ring. Plus, I don't have to be on camera. I don't like being on camera. So that's even better for me. So I do want to, I'm not a camera guy. Like, put me behind the drum set, I'm good. Like, that's where I'm happy. Commentary, that's good. I don't got to be on camera. I'm not a camera guy. I'm more behind the camera kind of guy. But I do want to ask you this one. Coming from you, I think this is a very important answer right here. What advice would you have? And you're probably watching a lot of these indie talent right now that are on the cusp of greatness. It's so cool to see people achieve their dreams and getting opportunities during a pandemic, like I said, no less. What would you say to these up and comers that are trying to get over with the crowd, trying to connect with the crowd, maybe even trying to get heat from the crowd? What advice would you have for some of these up and comers to get to that next level?
Well, I would say watch film. Watch. You have to know what type of a heel you are or what type of a face you are. There are many different types, right? Am I a monster like Wardlow, right? I'm a big monster guy, you know? Or am I a crazy psycho, you know? Or am I a street thug? Like, you have to understand what type you're going to be. And then go look at the most successful of that type and see the things that they did to get their heat, because not everybody can get cheap heat. Telling the crowd to shut up and that they're stupid, you know, by the time the third match is going on, that's probably not going to work so much anymore. Yeah. Now you're getting them bored. You have to get them engaged. And sometimes, you know, it really depends on also what match you are on the card and what's the point of your match. Are you just starting a rivalry? Are you just establishing it? Or do people even know who's the bad guy, who's the good guy? Or have you been beating down this baby face now, and then finally the baby face is finally gonna win against you? Well, then your level of your focus is a little bit different. Because by now, if you don't have heat just for walking into the ring after all the beating that you've done, you know, there comes a point where people have to believe that this babyface can win. And it has to always be about the babyface. And here's the sad news, heels. Okay. You're very, very important, but you're really a glorified jobber in the end. Wow. So you really have to plan it out if you're involved in a rivalry of how you're really going to get the babyface over, because your job is actually more about the babyface than it is about you. You should be good enough at being a professional that you don't even actually have to worry about you. You should just do what you normally do and get your heat. You know, it's got to be, sometimes your babyface is maybe a rookie, and so you have to be, you know, the general in the ring there and really be the guiding leading force. So everything you're doing is not necessarily about you. Some of it is about your baby face. And I successfully did that for a very long time after ECW, getting into ECW. And then after ECW, I was a heel all day until finally, you know, people just wouldn't boo me anymore. And then you got to plan that out and say, you know what, at this point, okay, I got to transition. And that's what's great about pro wrestling, is it doesn't stay the same. It's always changing. And you have to plan that. You start this off and you should see, okay, I'm a heel here. And this is when eventually, maybe next year, I might start to change my story, and what kind of a baby am I going to transition into? And, you know, you got to be versatile and you got to be able to do it, because if you're going to go to the big show, which is WWE or Ring of Honor or AEW, you're gonna have to be able to transition from being a heel here, and then the story's gonna have to change. Otherwise it gets stale, and TV can't be stale. If you start getting stale on TV, you're gonna get released, because you can't. You have to be able to engage with the audience and change your character and be versatile and adapt.
Wow. Very, very well said. Is there anyone that you're, because you work with so many different people, so many different places. Is there anyone that you're working with now, or, and you don't have to name names if you don't want to, that you see, or like, he's got it, she's got it. Is there anyone like you kind of have your eye on, or maybe someone you just want to work with?
I would say that there's so much talent out there right now.
Yeah.
That I see so many people with a lot of potential. I'm really excited about the opportunities to work with these up and coming girls, as much as I am some of the girls that are like TNA, and because like I wrestled Velvet Sky and Angelina Love and Tracy Brooks before they got to TNA. And, you know, I'm really excited about the girls in TNA that I haven't met yet. And I'm looking forward to meeting them and hoping that I get to work with them in the future. Mm. Like, I love these undead girls.
Yes.
Young, Rosemary, Holly Dead. Oh, like, great. My character to wrestle their character would be
Let's go.
Yeah, like I'm excited about that. I would love to work with those girls, because my character is all about the light and angelic, and theirs is like the undead and zombie and demonic, you know. It's the perfect setup.
I'm here for it. That's amazing. And maybe you'll have another belt around your other shoulder there. We'll see what happens. Miss Orsini, I want to be very respectful of your time. Thank you for doing this. I'm like inspired. I've learned so much more about the business. But before we get out of here, we are all about the shameless self-promotion here on the BCP. Also, feel free to plug some of those great causes that you're involved with as well. Tell everyone where they can follow you on social media, support some of those great causes, and maybe get a little merch, you know, get the t-shirt, get the 8x10, all that great stuff.
So the best way to connect with me is on social media, The Angel Orsini. That's my fan page on Facebook, my Instagram, my Twitter, all of them, and in TikTok as well. My website is angelorsini.net. So I'm about to re-upload and revamp my website. I've been working to redesign it. And so that's going to happen really soon. So I would definitely subscribe to the newsletter through the contact there. And also you can book me through there as well, my website, angelorsini.net. Pretty soon there's going to be a film that's going to be released called The Lollipop Gang. There's a fan page for that film. It's a comedy. It's hilarious. Definitely like that page and follow it so that you can stay tuned for that to be released. And also The Circle of Champions is a documentary about the history of women's professional wrestling. I'm in that film. And I was working with the producers for about 3 years now. It's been an ongoing project. It'll be released in 2023. There's some amazing people involved in it. Very famous wrestlers talk about women's wrestling in it. You have Jazz, you have Medusa, you have Gary Wolf, the Pitbull, and Christopher Anino is the director. It's going to be really awesome project. It's been wonderful working on that project. So there's also a Facebook page for that. Like it, follow it, so you can stay up with the recent events and when that'll be released.
That's awesome. I'm excited. Hashtag here for that. Excited for that. Well, maybe we'll do a little review on that over on a pop break. That's amazing. Miss Orsini, thank you so much for taking the time. This is long overdue. I will see you Saturday. Stay safe out there. Just continued success to you moving forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And don't forget, it's March 12th, Bayville, New Jersey at the Elks Lodge, Goddesses of Wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Tickets are available. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive. Take care of each other. We are out. Peace.